From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to hour one of a Wednesday edition of the Todd Starnes Show, coast to coast, on more than 150 outstanding radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. It's Jeff Stein joining you today from the free state of Iowa and my home base, the home of the Todd Starnes Show in Iowa News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. Todd continues today at the Great Spiritual Leadership Conference in California. I was just looking at their website, slconference.com, and the list of sessions and speakers. Wow, no wonder he enjoys that so much every year. So it's my privilege to be in the air chair today and to conduct this coast-to-coast conversation from the Liberty University studio. We invite you to call in. Plenty of time for your calls this hour at 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Apparently, and again, I work for a living, so I missed this, but apparently the current president, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., was on a panel along with the, as Todd accurately calls them, squawking magpies of The View on ABC, the Biden-Harris network, as proven during the so-called debate not long ago. And Grace has found some clips from that. We made her watch it. You want to talk combat pay? Holy cow. Well, in any event, what I have seen, I fear for our nation. I mean, this is September the 25th. Inauguration Day is January the 20th. I don't know how this poor shell of an individual, well, he's certainly not running the country now. I don't know how it gets to that point. But we'll share some of the Biden, I'd say comments, but it's pretty much gibberish and mumbling, near as I can tell. But we'll share it with you in this hour, along with your calls again, 901-260-5926. In our next hour, two of the rising stars in state politics, both return guests to this program. Coming up at the top of the next hour, we'll speak with the Oklahoma State Superintendent Ryan Walters. Education, he says, is on the ballot in November. We'll also speak next hour with the Attorney General of the state of Iowa, my home state, Brenna Byrd. She unseated a 40-year incumbent 2 years ago and now is prosecuting non-citizens voting. You heard me right. Non-citizens are voting. I know that the talking points are very different. I know that Democrats say that doesn't happen, but it does, and we'll hear about it in the next hour. In the third hour of the program, Trent England of Save Our States will be along with Liz Peek, the excellent columnist for Fox News and The Hill. So all of that and your calls on this Wednesday edition of the Fun Fest. Now, I've not had the opportunity to speak with you, Starnes Nation, for a while, and so there's one thing I want to catch up on. You remember when Kamala Harris, who was the beneficiary of the coup in the White House that dislodged Joe Biden from the Democrat presidential nomination, and if ever there was a non-Democratic nomination by any party, it's by the folks who called themselves the Democratic Party. But that's why we, wisely, thank you, Uncle Rush, call them Democrats and not the Democratic Party. Well, in any event, she finally sat down for a quote-unquote interview with CNN at the end of August. You remember this, right? This was in a situation where she's just kind of timidly in a little chair in a school, and she had her emotional support running mate next to her, and got all the softball questions from CNN. You remember that situation. And by the way, it was only 18 minutes, right? Donald Trump doesn't even clear his throat and finish his first paragraph in 18 minutes. But she limited that joint interview to 18 minutes. you know, the gap in the Nixon Watergate tape was longer than Kamala Harris's, to my knowledge, only sit-down network interview so far. Well, one of the things that they did ask her was about her flip-flopping on various positions. And it was a long list. It's gotten longer in the month since. But as they asked her about these positions and how is it that you've changed your stance on fracking and on the wall and all of these other things, the answer her aides had written that she dutifully memorized was to say, "My values have not changed." That's how she explained away everything, every change in major position. She explained it away by saying, "My values have not changed." And I agree, her values have not changed. But it's because she only had one core value to begin with. And friends, her only core value was to attain ever higher public office. That's her only value. That's her goal. That's her mission in life. Do what it takes to reach ever higher levels of public office. Now, some people do that because they want the power and they have an agenda. Some people do it because of an honest desire to get things done. On the negative side, some just want the power and have an agenda that may not be in the best interest of the nation. I would suggest to you she does not even have that. In other words, she's not on this craven desire for more power because she has this plan. She just wants to have it on the resume. Apparently, there's something in the water in California, and that's why I fear for our friend Brother Starn spending too much time out there. Hopefully, he brought jugs of sweet tea from Memphis, Tennessee, so he doesn't get poisoned by whatever is in the California water. But I've told you this on the program before. The now former Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, to me, his only goal was to become Speaker of the House. He didn't have a plan for what he would do once he got there. He didn't have an agenda that he wanted to follow. He just wanted to be the Speaker of the House. He wanted to wield the gavel. He wanted to point to the sign above his office, both things that he did in photo ops. To me, once he finally won on the, 910th ballot, whatever it was, once he finally got to be Speaker, his goal was realized. And that's usually not a good sign for governance, as we soon found out. I would suggest to you that the current vice president has the same idea. She wants ever higher public office. There is no higher public office in this country than president, so sure, she wants it. And this is the dangerous part for all of us. She will say or do anything to reach that goal because that is her sole core value, the desire to personally attain the highest office possible. You cannot take such strident public stands on so many key issues during one election cycle and then look at the polling data and say, "Well, I didn't mean any of that. You're wrong. This is what I really believe because I think that's in sync with voters." No compass, no moral compass, no core value. You cannot call the border wall a proven technique, a vanity project, and then adopt it when you're running against the guy who came up with the idea. You cannot be so strident against fracking, as another example, and then claim, "Well, you know, we didn't do anything about fracking in the Biden administration, and, you know, it was during the debate with Vice President Pence that I changed my mind." Are you kidding me? We the voters are not stupid. All right, sometimes we vote in stupid ways. Sometimes we don't protect the sanctity of the ballot and let elections get stolen from us. But we're not stupid. And it just seems that she is willing to say or do anything to reach her sole value and goal. And if it means riding Joe Biden's coattails into office in 2020 with the promise that it would be handed over to her, so be it. If it meant lying to the nation about his cognitive ability in the hopes that there would be a re-election, so then you can assume power during what would have been a Biden second term, so be it. If it means being a willing participant in a coup to knock him out of the way and deny voters across the country, Democrats in this case, the ability to choose their own nominee, absolutely fine. And along with it, another wardrobe with all new pantsuits, please. More pastels. It'll soften my image. And make sure that the pastel color of the pantsuit goes along with whatever accent I'm using today so that I can curry favor with voters. Two things are very scary about this, and then we'll take our break, and then I welcome your comments. Two things that are scary about this. One is, if you have no agenda in terms of what you want to do to help the American people, you are merely a puppet owing a debt to the people who put you in office. That is the situation, which means we have no idea what we're getting, but we're darn sure it's not going to be the kinds of things that we like or that Mr. Trump would put in place. There's the biggest distinction between candidates ever. If you just simply put a list of what this person believes and what this person believes, and you didn't put names or political parties, this is the starkest difference ever. And the second part that's scary about this, other than the fact that we have no idea what she would do, but we should assume it would be far more radical than what Joe Biden as a puppet has done. The second thing that's frightening is, she's within a whisker of getting it. The election is this close. And don't believe polls of any kind. Don't believe ones that say that Trump's ahead. Don't believe ones that say he's behind. Don't believe national polls, certainly, because we don't have a popular national vote. Don't believe anything, because I really believe these are all set up so that people will stay home, so that people won't give, so that people will presume it's in the bag, et cetera, et cetera. So the two scary things about Kamala Harris is, since her only value is to be elected president, we don't know what she's going to do, and she'll be beholden to some really scary folks. And second, the scary thing is that she's close to attaining the goal, and it requires each one of us to do our part to make sure this election is fair and that she gets nowhere near that Oval Office unless she's on a visitor's pass someday. 901-260-5926 is how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation. I look forward to hearing from you, and we'll share comments from the current occupant of the Oval Office, from The View, all that and more. Thanks for being along. Hour one of a Wednesday edition of the Todd Starn Show continues. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Thanks for being along in the Liberty University studio. This is the Todd Starn Show.
Have you heard about Dinesh D'Souza's new movie? It's based on his book by the same name, Vindicating Trump. Now, the movie is a searching examination about the real reasons why the left and the Democrats hate Donald Trump so much. They call him a tyrannical dictator, but in truth, it's the American government's authoritarian regime that's afraid that Trump will dethrone them once again. As a charismatic leader, he mobilizes the people. He gets things done, and they don't like it. That's why they're trying to get rid of him, to throw him in jail using lawsuits and indictments and even an assassination attempt on his life. Vindicating Trump reveals Donald Trump as the one man who can defeat the tyranny of the left, and that's why we need his leadership now more than ever. Don't miss Dinesh D'Souza's unqualified defense of Trump, Vindicating Trump, in theaters nationwide starting Friday, September 27th. Make your plans now and get your tickets online, VindicatingTrump.com. That's VindicatingTrump.com.
Wow. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today from the Liberty University studio. 901-260-5926 is how you can join our coast-to-coast conversation. Guests in the next 2 hours, plenty of time for you in this hour. And we'll get to some of the comments from President Biden on The View this morning. We'll do that after the bottom of the hour break. But I just saw something on social media where, once again, the invincible Joe Biden says he would have beaten Trump if he had run because Trump is a loser. Yep. I said this before, but it's sort of like, and I've experienced this with now departed relatives, but sometimes folks get to a certain age, they're in a care center, and they just, you know, for fun, start ramming each other with their wheelchairs to get them out of the way on the way for lunch. And that's the tone of the current leader of the free world.
I'd have beaten him. He's a loser.
Yeah, okay. Great. That's the kind of guy that we want running things. We'll hear more of that if we can stand it in the next hour. By the way, if you do not have a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? The excellent top-selling book endorsed by President Trump, authored by the host of this program, Todd Starnes. You really do need to get a copy. But I do have a bone to pick with Todd when we get a chance, and I haven't spoken to him directly, but I'll share it with you, and word will filter back. I really think Twilight's Last Gleaming should have a warning label or a sticker on it. You know, they used to have parental advisory labels on CDs and DVDs or whatever. There needs to be a sticker on the cover of this book that says, do not read this book immediately after surgery because you'll laugh so hard it might affect your stitches. I'm just going to say I have firsthand knowledge of this. I had just a little minor surgery, everything great, but so I worked from home for a couple of weeks, and that gave me the chance to take my copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming and sit on the chair on the front porch and look out the beautiful summertime weather, and I read the thing over the course of a week, cover to cover, and it was insightful on every page, scary in several places, but also laugh out loud funny in several spots. And that's the bone I have to pick, because I'm sitting there, I'm supposed to be careful, I'm not supposed to lift anything heavy, don't do anything to screw up the surgery, don't do anything to mess with the incisions, and I start reading about Todd being on trial for eating fried chicken. I'm not going to give any more of it away than that, but you know, you read this, and then you start laughing, and then it's painful, but you can't help but laugh, and so I'm just telling you, do get a couple of copies of Todd's book, one for yourself, one for a friend. But just the caution, don't take a sip of a beverage before reading some of these pages, because you'll spit the liquid out. You'll spit your sweet tea across the railing of your front porch. It's that funny. Twilight's Last Gleaming. Get it wherever you get your good books. And, of course, you can get it at toddstarnes.com. As the program goes on today, and I've not had a chance to talk to you since Todd came to Iowa and visited us, and so I had the wonderful opportunity of spending large parts of 3 days with Todd and being his chauffeur, which we were calling Driving Mr. Todd, because we were going all over the place, and sold out of the books immediately at our event that we had here. Todd did the show from this very studio in Iowa the day before the event and met with so many of our great Iowa listeners and quickly sold out of the books. But we're going to have a conversation about a few things that happened along the way while I was driving Mr. Todd. We're going to take a break now. Love to hear from you on the other side. 901-260-5926. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You've asked, and MyPillow listened. The most requested offer ever. Right now, you can get the queen-size premium MyPillow for only $19.98. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and I love MyPillow, made with patented adjustable fill. It adjusts to your exact individual needs, regardless of your sleep position. And it helps keep your neck aligned. It holds its shape all night long, so you get the best sleep of your life. But that's not all. You can also get a six-piece kitchen or towel bath set for only $25. And the brand new mattress topper for as low as $69.98. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products, including the premium queen-size MyPillow for only $19.98. That's the lowest price ever. So don't delay. Order now. Use my promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show from the Liberty University studio. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. 901-260-5926. That's how you can connect with us on this coast-to-coast conversation. 901-260-5926. So about 90 minutes ago, the current president of the United States, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., was on with the, as you know them, squawking magpies of The View. And it went as you would expect. And what little I can see from some of these clips, the folks on the show, again, it was sort of like they just wanted to reach out and help Grandpa get back to his room. I mean, this is what it seems like. You'll get enough of a flavor from the audio, though. Let's start with cut number one, and here's a nice setup, a very nice question, and, well, you'll hear the answer. Cut one, please.
Did you feel that your hand was forced, and what is your relationship with Speaker Pelosi now?
My relationship is fine. Look, I never fully believed the assertions that somehow there was this overwhelming reluctance of my running again. I didn't sense that. Mm-hmm. And although the polling, as you said, Biden's polling was different, the fact of the matter is my polling was about, we're always within range of beating this guy.
Yeah.
And, what I did was, I think there were, it makes sense. There were some folks who would like to see me step aside so they have a chance to move on. I get that. That's just human nature. But that wasn't the reason that I stepped down. I stepped down because I started thinking about it. You know, it's hard to think of, I know you're only 30, but it's hard to think of, it's hard for me to even say how old I am. No, I'm serious. I don't know what you
mean. Why is that?
I give my word. It's like, holy God, that can't be right.
You're 81! Just in case you weren't aware. And age is not the issue, Mr. President, if I can call you Mr. President. Age is not the issue. Now, here's the thing about the question. The question was fine. And we know all the stories about Nancy Pelosi. I mean, I'd like to see Joe Biden turn around. Is her handprint still in the middle of his back, pushing him out of the way? This doesn't make sense. Like I expected that it would. But there's some who wanted me to move out of the way so, younger people could move up. Well, are you saying that Kamala is behind the palace coup? Here's the other thing. He wasn't forced out. But he started thinking, kind of getting up there in age. The time for that analysis probably was a year before that point. Now, let me remind you of what I swear was the plan. No one has told me this, but it's self-evident. The idea was Joe Biden would be the compromise candidate in 2020 to block Bernie Sanders. Remember how this all came down, friends? It was about to Super Tuesday. Bernie was coming along on the left. And they thought, well, we got to stop Bernie. He's not really even a Democrat unless he wants to run for president. So all of these other folks, Buttigieg, Klobuchar, all of these folks threw in the towel and endorsed Biden as the compromise candidate. Who can stop Bernie? Stop one old guy with another old guy. All right. And that's what they did. All of them throwing in the towel thinking they might be the vice presidential choice. But instead, it was Kamala, who had run such a disastrous run for president herself. She got out of the race before the calendar year. I know. I'm here in Iowa. She blew through this huge war chest. She blew through individuals who were quitting her staff in droves, and she did not attract people to events. Even in areas that should have been logical constituencies, cities with higher percentage of minority population. Nope, she couldn't even draw a crowd there because she had no people skills and no message. But she gets to be the vice presidential choice. Took it because what the heck? Joe gets in. We're done with Trump. He hands it over to Kamala maybe in year three. So she has the power of incumbency. And there you go. Master plan by the backroom Democrats who see themselves as the modern day Mayor Daley's. Mayor Daley the first. Well, a funny thing happened on the way to that plan being executed. Kamala performed so poorly, so abysmally, even in softball interviews, even in reading prepared text, they couldn't hand it over to her like they had planned. Plus, Dr. Jill kind of liked the trappings of power, and so I don't think she was going to be too eager to get out of the way any too soon. Surprised she wasn't running cabinet meetings before this, but that's another discussion. So the plan was Joe was the puppet caretaker. He'd hand off to Kamala. Oh, wait, she can't handle it. The time for the conversation about, well, you know, maybe I am starting to get up there in age, was a year before, June of 2023. Probably should have been sooner, but we'll just give you June. So that there would be time for an open primary. Heaven forbid voters decide who the candidate is, in calendar year 2024. They had rigged the whole game. They rigged the nomination process by making sure the only thing that counted was South Carolina being first. Hats off to you folks in New Hampshire for thumbing your nose at them. Boos and slings and arrows to my friends here in Iowa who just rolled over and played dead in that scheme. But the bottom line is they set up the whole process so that nobody other than Joe Biden could get the nomination. And then at the first sign that America was on to the game, off he went. And they had a Kamala problem because you can't get around her and there wasn't time for the open primary. Despite what Nancy Pelosi says, I don't know where her head is at. Well, there was an open primary and Kamala won. What, among six of you in a room? So no, I wasn't forced. I just started thinking one day that, you know, perhaps it'd be best to kind of move along. There's no one who believes that. There's also no one who believes what Mr. Biden said in cut three, if you would, please.
We're having so much success in getting things done that people thought we couldn't get done.
Right.
I found myself having used more time than I would have ordinarily to, you know, pass that torch. Yeah. But working with Kamala, she is bright, she is tough, she's honorable. And the thing I like about her, and one thing we share in common, is that we have an optimistic view of the future here.
Dark Brandon has an optimistic view of the future. Well, I have an optimistic view of the future if Joe Biden is not president. I'm very optimistic about the future in that situation. I am scared to death about the current situation. I'm actually more scared if she gets in. So Biden dropped out of the race because we were just so darn successful. You know, I'd have handed it off sooner, but gosh, we were just so good. Do you feel success today? Now, by the way, if you're relying on the federal government to regulate your happiness or your level of success, you're in a bad place. Government should have a certain role in protecting you, but not in guaranteeing your outcome. Oh, there's a difference between Republicans and Democrats. Biden dropped out because he had so much success. Absolutely. Oh, absolutely the case, sir. Oh, heavens. Heavens, heavens. Listen to what he said in Cut 5 with regard to meeting with these foreign leaders. Now, keep in mind, just the other day, he's supposed to be bringing some of these foreign leaders to the podium, and in a moment of true, oh my God, moment, for those of us watching, he just kind of got a funny look and barked off to the left. Who's next? To see, because apparently he got his notes out of order. Cut 5, please.
And no matter what their politics are, as they're going out, whether it's the G20, the G7, all these meetings, they'll go like this.
Yeah,
I'm not joking.
It's probably terrifying to them.
NATO.
Yeah.
Ends if he.
That's right. Yeah. He would love that.
Now, what he does, he's trying to say what the foreign leaders say to him, and he reaches over to, you know, Lieutenant Squawking Magpie Joy Behar. He reaches over and touches her on the arm and leans in and kind of whispers and it's like, "Oh, you can't." And it's like, "Joe, you can't." Oh, yeah. And then, of course, the other magpies join in to save him. Oh, yeah. They'd be scared to death of Trump in there. You're right. The foreign leaders would be scared to death of Trump being in there because he held them accountable. The free ride was over. There's not much that Vladimir Putin and the President Zelensky, Vladimir Zelensky of Ukraine, there's not much they have in common. They have this in common. They both endorsed Kamala Harris. Both the presidents of Russia and Ukraine endorsed Kamala Harris. If that's not enough reason for you to vote for Donald J. Trump, I don't know what else to tell you about that. There were other things from The View, but we need to take a break. We're at the Liberty University studio on a Wednesday edition of the Todd Starnes program. Love to hear your thoughts. 901-260-5926. In the next hour, on the ground in Oklahoma to save education and on the ground in Iowa to save election integrity. That's in our next hour. Your calls in the next segment. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Exercise and a healthy diet can help, but that can be hard, especially as we start to get older. It's like the choice between taking the stairs or waiting for the elevator. Sometimes the easier option can be tempting. But just like choosing to take the stairs, you can choose to get a variety of 31 whole fruit and vegetable ingredients. Balance of Nature supplements are formulated from the best ingredients available. And it's as easy as taking 3 fruits and 3 veggies capsules every day. It's a small commitment, but it can help you feel your best. Start your journey with Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get 35% off your first order as a preferred customer with free shipping and our money-back guarantee. That's 1-800-246-8751. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code BALANCE.
Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on this Wednesday, 901-260-5926. That's how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation with us. We have guests coming up in the next couple of hours. Still time, though, for you to join us, even in the second and third hours for the day. We've been sharing some wisdom from the president of the United States, quote-unquote, president of the United States, Joe Biden. even when they set things up for him on a tee, as they will do here in cut number two, you just, it's cringy, as the kids probably no longer say. Here's cut two.
In case people don't know, you're like a straight white guy. So why was representation so important to you?
Known for liking chocolate chip ice cream and Ray-Ban sunglasses.
You know, when you end a sentence with the phrase, what the hell, I guess that just dismisses everything. Like, who starts a question, you know, you're a straight white guy. Okay, thank you. That was apparent. That leads us to a comment about the people in his administration, as you'll hear in cut four.
I think we not only have the most diverse administration in history, I think we have the most qualified.
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes, they chant in unison.
Okay, name the accomplishments. You see, diverse is fine. Qualified is better. Now let's really look at some qualifications. And the problem with the people who have worked in the Biden administration is that we keep hearing about some of the personal issues of those who are, quote, more diverse. The individual who stole other people's luggage because he liked the dresses that were inside. People who are gender fluid. You know the ones. Okay, so the point is, I don't care. You go be you, all right? But when we start hiring people to run the greatest democracy on the planet based upon characteristics of birth, or in my mind, worse, characteristics of birth that they deny and try to change? Well, now we got problems, people. Just because it's diverse does not make it qualified. And look at his priority there. We not only have the most diverse administration in history, I think we have the most qualified. Start with the qualified. But that's not how they think. That's not all, at all, how they think. Finally, listen to how Biden was asked, what advice do you have for Kamala? And of course, you know, she was in the room for everything. They've been great partners all along. That'll come back to bite her. But here's cut six.
As the only person who has ever beaten Trump, what advice have you given the vice president about how to win?
Be herself. Mm-hmm. Look, she is smart as hell, number one.
Yeah.
She's tough. She was a first-rate prosecutor. She is a United States senator of significant consequence. And as vice president, there wasn't a single thing that I did that she couldn't do. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to delegate her responsibility on everything from foreign policy to domestic policy. Look, the one thing we have in common, she and I, two basic things that are different, departed from some Democrats, some past Democratic notions. Mm-hmm. We thought the way to build this country and build the economy, which was left in shattered and tatters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was to build a middle class.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
To build a middle class from the bottom up. It would increase, it would give the poor folks an opportunity, give the middle class a chance to grow. And the wealthy could still do well. They should start paying their taxes.
They should, yes.
But I'll tell you.
Duh.
And the other thing is that I don't know all of a sudden how we're so down on the prospects of America. Mm-hmm. There's nothing we've ever set out to do we haven't been able to do as a people. And we've done it together. Nothing. And so I just think she is, she has the energy, she has the intelligence, she has the grit, she has the stamina, and she has the guts to do the right thing.
Now, we only have 2 hours left of this radio program, so I cannot rebut and fact check each thing in that minute and a half. Let's start with, the rich should pay their taxes. Said the man whose son just pleaded guilty to felony-level tax evasion. And who is no doubt going to get a pardon for it. Did you notice that Hunter's sentencing has been moved until December? What does that mean? It means it's after the election, so Papa can come on with a pardon if necessary. And if, God forbid, Kamala wins, well, she'll be able to give the pardon after Inauguration Day and Joe's hands are clean. Stop with this, the rich should pay their fair share. You yourself used the rules to avoid paying taxes. And all of the stuff about, well, we gave Kamala these great duties and foreign policy. She hadn't been to France, at least last we knew. And it takes an election for her to go for a photo op at the border? Please. Please. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the president of the... Oh, I can't even say it. Couple of more hours. Thanks so much for being along. I'm Jeff Stein, in for Todd. Hour two coming up after this break. This is the Todd Starn Show.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies supplements. Changing the world one life at a time.
I love the product because I'm already here at almost 80 knocking on my door. When I started taking Balance of Nature, I'm telling you, it wasn't a month after that, maybe 2 months after that, I started really feeling the difference.
I love Balance of Nature. I will take it to the day I die. It's wonderful. I feel so much better. I'm telling everybody about it. And I just feel better. I mean, it's just amazing how much better I feel on this stuff. I got excited about the product because I started feeling better. They asked me, does it work? I said, yes, it works. You got to try it. It will work.
Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and sign up as a new preferred customer. And for a limited time, get 35% off your first order with free shipping and our money-back guarantee. Go to balanceofnature.com and get this special offer by using discount code BALANCE.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to hour two of a Wednesday edition of the Todd Starnes Show, coast to coast, on more than 150 tremendous radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein speaking to you from the free state of Iowa and the Liberty University studio. Todd continues at the wonderful Spiritual Leadership Conference in California. Hopefully he's not getting indoctrinated by some of the goofiness out there. I know he's of strong stuff, and he'll be back behind this microphone sooner as opposed to later. It's my privilege to be with you today, and we encourage you to join the Coast to Coast conversation at 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We will take your calls in the next segment. A couple of guests this hour, and we're going to focus on things at the state level. Some wonderful things are being done by some rising political leaders, rising stars in the Republican Party at the state level. At the bottom of the hour, you'll hear about election integrity issues from Iowa Attorney General Brenna Byrd. She's been on the program with me before, as has our guest coming up right now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. He is the state superintendent for the state of Oklahoma. He is Ryan Walters, Superintendent Walters. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for taking the time. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on today, Jeff.
So you have a piece at FoxNews.com about how important this November ballot is with regard to education. Now, obviously, this is your lane, education, but given how important it is to the future of our nation, did it surprise you that not a single mention was made during that sham debate about education?
You know, I'm shocked, but, you know, I guess I shouldn't be, because the whole thing was a setup from the beginning to just stack the deck against President Trump. But, like, let's just be crystal clear. The reason they won't bring up education right now, the reason you're not hearing it on your mainstream news media outlets, is because the left's plans for our children have been exposed. President Trump has exposed that the left wants to own your kids. They want to control your kids. They want to turn your kids into social justice warriors, make them trans, turn them against their family, turn them against their communities, turn them against their country, and most importantly, turn them against their faith. We have seen these continued attacks against prayer in school, the Bible in schools. We've seen them push pornography on our kids. We've seen them push gender confusion and gender transition on our kids. President Trump has fought against this. President Trump is the champion for the parents and the grandparents of our community. So guess what? Now all of a sudden the mainstream media goes, let's not talk about education, because the left knows their plans have been exposed for our kids.
It is a losing issue for the Democrats, to be sure, because it has become so clear that these are controlled. Many of these areas are controlled by the National Teachers Union, the very people who tried to keep schools closed during COVID, when that is the opposite of what should have happened. Explain your role, because not every state has a superintendent like the good state of Oklahoma. What is your role? And once you took the position, what was most surprising to you about what you found in some of the classrooms across your state?
Absolutely. Number one, you know, we're one of the 11 states that elect a state superintendent. So I oversee our school system, our Department of Education, and I'm elected by the people of Oklahoma. So that's who I answer to. I answer to parents and grandparents and taxpayers across the state. So because of that, you know, our Oklahomans were crystal clear with me. They're tired of left-wing indoctrination in the classroom. They're tired of the teachers' unions running our schools. They want parents to run our schools. So we came in very aggressively, passed universal school choice my first year. We threw the teachers' unions out of our schools, put parents back in charge, brought transparency. And to your point, I could not believe, actually there's two things, could not believe the books we found in schools, Genderqueer, Flamer, all these sort of books, graphic pornography, so much so that I showed them in a board meeting and challenged the local media. Why don't you show this? Y'all said this doesn't exist and it's not that bad. Play these images on the news tonight. They all refuse. They said we can't. You know, there could be children watching our news stations. They go, well, that's the point. I found all of these in school buildings, folks. And just to show you how appalling that is, but I'm going to give you one other thing that was more shocking to me.
Yes.
I had Republicans in my state tell me they didn't want me to address that issue. Can't you just ignore it? Can't you just not talk about it? Can't you just kind of stand down from it? Why are you fighting these fights? Can't you just get along with the teachers' union? Can't you just take it easy? And I told them absolutely not. When I told voters of Oklahoma we're going to clean up our schools, I meant it. But I know your audience knows this, but I'm telling you what voters are most frustrated about across the country are Republicans that say one thing and they get elected and they don't do it. And we have rhinos across the country that have not stood up to the teachers' unions, and they are allowing our kids to be indoctrinated, and that has to stop.
Ryan Walters is the elected state superintendent in the state of Oklahoma. He joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. I understand if these folks were political people who would, well, I don't understand it, stand for what you believe in, for crying out loud. You'll win the elections as opposed to try to outsmart the voters. But I doubt that many of these folks who said these things to you really had kids in schools that were suffering from this. I mean, it's one of these things where, as you said, the parents were very loud and clear, knock this stuff off.
Yeah, and it's a very elitist kind of mentality. Look, I've got Republicans in state that take money from the teachers' union. Look, my own Speaker of the House here in Oklahoma tried to impeach me over this, okay? Because they took money from teachers' unions. They were supported by it, some in leadership. And they said, hey, just stand down on this. We've kind of cut deals with the teachers' unions behind the scenes. So, you know, they won't attack us as hard if we just give them more money and kind of leave them alone. And I said, that's the most absurd position I've ever heard. Go out and talk to some parents and grandparents in the community. They are tired of this nonsense. And what you see is, again, hey, it's we are giving away the next generation to these radical leftists. And if we don't stop this, this is an existential threat to the country. Because I'm going to tell you, they are turning kids against the country. Talk to young people today. Listen to what they're hearing. They're hearing that America is an evil, racist country, that Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington were evil, terrible people that you shouldn't even learn about, much less emulate. It's absurd. Instead of teaching our young people to be patriots, I've got a school here in my state that I'm investigating right now that told kids to take the American flag off of their truck. They don't want the American flag flown in their parking lot. I mean, the absurdity of we should be doing the opposite. We should be growing more patriots. We should be growing a love of America, an understanding of American exceptionalism. If we don't get this right, we are dangerously close to waking up one morning and the majority of kids hate this country, hate Christianity, hate their own family, reject the traditional family model, and we're not going to be able to come back from that. And that's where you see this election this November is essential. If we don't get the Department of Education abolished, President Trump has promised to do that, if we don't fight back against this woke ideology, we're going to lose this country.
Now, I don't challenge a single thing that you just said. There are those who will say, however, forget the wokeness, forget the fact that public schools have gone so far off the rails because of the teachers' union and the agenda. Okay, put that aside for just a moment. There are some who have said, well, we need some sort of national structure because there will be some states that don't fully support or fund education. We've got to have these minimal national standards, et cetera, et cetera. What does Ryan Walters say in response to those who say, well, we've got to have a national Department of Education, if for nothing else, to guarantee that folks in one state, those children, don't receive an inferior education?
Every single educational statistic has gone down since Jimmy Carter brought in a Department of Education. Every single one, math, reading, science, history, every single one. The amount of money being spent on education has dramatically went through the roof. Also, we have seen radical indoctrination being pushed by the Department of Education and the left-wing bureaucrats they have there. Remember Common Core? That started the Department of Education. CRT, Department of Education. Now, transgender ideology being pushed by the Department of Education. There, our founders were crystal clear. The powers not given over to the federal government were reserved to the states and the people, respectfully. We need to get back to understanding that education is a local issue. And frankly, what we should do is abolish the department, give power back to the states, and every state should do what we do here in Oklahoma. We give power back to the families. That's ultimately where the power of education should rest. The families should be in charge. They choose the school. They choose the direction of their kids' education. And you bring that power to them. We want families to be more involved. We want to see families connected and involved in their kids' lives. You've got to encourage that. Get government further and further away from it. Empower parents. Give them options. Provide good choices for them. That's how you flourish in education. And we've done the exact opposite route by creating a Department of Education and asking the federal government to get more involved in what should be the most local decision you make, and that's the decisions around your kids.
I don't have children. I don't have grandchildren. But it just smacks of elitism every time one of these so-called education leaders gets up and says, in response to what parents may want to do, well, we know more than you do about how to raise your children. Could there be more of a high-handed, empty sort of position?
Yeah, to your point, it is incredibly elitist. It is, I mean, you think about the arrogance of believing that, first of all, you know better for a kid than their own parents. Like, you know, so just you think about how absurd that is. So you spend a few hours with them a day, and you think you understand them better than the parents that brought them into this world. God gave kids to parents, not some bureaucrat, right? God gave them this child. They've raised them from birth. You think you know them better. That's absurd. But you think you love them more than their mom and dad? There is nobody in this world. And again, I'm a parent of four. Hey, there's nobody loving my kids more than my wife and I do. Hey, we love those kids. We want to see what's best for those kids. Like all the parents I meet. The more that you engage them, the more that you ask them, the more that you develop that understanding of mom, dad, what do you see for your child? You know, what's the direction here? You get that type of partnership with a parent when you're a teacher. I mean, my background, I was a public school teacher for 10 years. I tried all I could. I want mom and dad to be involved. I want them to see what we're doing. I want to hear their feedback. I want to understand where they think that their kid needs to be helped or encouraged given opportunity. The more that we get back to that, the better our education system will be. But like you said, what we've done is allow these academic elites that they want to micromanage our entire society. Remember, these are these Marxist socialists that want to run our country. They want to run your life. And they believe that they know best how to raise your children, and they want to make all these decisions around them. And remember, their end goal is to create a Democrat voter base and create a Marxist society. So that's why you see things. I mean, I remember talking to parents who go, I can't believe my kid in a math class is being told that America is a racist country. And if you're black, the white kids are not going to like you. When you're in a first grade math class, where does that happen? I go, well, you have to understand the ideology of these leftists. Their goal is to create a Marxist country. So that starts, hey, Marxism, this isn't theory here. The Marxists did it in China. They did it in Russia. What do? They want to control families. They want to control education. They want to manipulate kids as early as they can because they know, and Marx lays it out very clearly in his manifesto, that, again, control the kids, control the next generation, and you'll win.
I taught college students for 25 years, and over that course of time, and I've been out of the classroom about 10 years, but over that course of time, I saw firsthand that the core skills of these individuals, and I'm talking about private faith-based colleges and public universities alike where I taught, the core skills of reading, writing, mathematics, etc., slid downward. At the same time, though, they were, quote, socially aware. This is not an accident, is it, Mr. Superintendent?
You're exactly right, and thank you for saying as clearly as you just did. This is not an accident. These policies are absolutely getting their intended, their desired result. They don't want kids to master those core subject areas because they don't want kids to be independent. They don't want kids to be able to enter the workforce. What they want is they want kids to be relying on government. They want kids to be ideologically as far left as possible and then utilize those individuals, control those individuals to keep power in these established structures. You see it in higher ed. I mean, our colleges are captured. Our colleges are captured by radical leftists. You see it now in K-12 education through the teachers union, them capturing those institutions. You see it in Hollywood. You see it in the media. And so you have all these influential structures that have been captured entities by the radical left. This is absolutely part of a plan, right? This is not an accident. They have planned to do this. And if we don't get back, you know, one of the only institutions conservatives still have is the church. I mean, the church is really the only major influential area that is still, we have conservatives in that space. If we don't get our schools back, though, and we continue to let it go down this Marxist road, again, we're not going to have a country, because here's the reality. And by the way, left-wing ideology and being left of center, that's been a reality in our public schools for decades, okay? But here's the difference today. Back 20, 30 years ago, you saw that in a curriculum. You know, they were saying Ronald Reagan was a bad president and low taxes are bad, things like that. That was kind of the essence of it. What we're experiencing today is a whole other level. It's not to say that, you know, conservatism is not a good, you know, perspective or things like that. No. What they're telling our kids today is, you might not be a boy if you were born a boy. You might be a girl. Well, let us show you sex acts in the classroom to get you thinking more outside the box. Let us tell you how racist this country is and white people are. When that kid goes home to their parents and they've been indoctrinated in that way, again, it's not the same level of indoctrination 20, 30 years ago. You're going to go home, and when your parents go, hold on a second, no, Johnny, you're a boy. Okay, you don't get to change your gender. They're going to look at their parents and go, you're a bigot, mom and dad. And I don't want to live with you anymore. I don't want to listen to you. This isn't a difference anymore of, you know, them talking about tax policies. They are going to turn kids against their parents in a way that's never happened in this country's history. And if we allow them to do that, there won't be any coming back to it. If they truly believe their parents are bigots, how do you ever get them back to listening to their parents and being open to what history teaches us, to what real truth is? Again, this is an existential threat to the country.
Education is on the November ballot, and so is our future. The title of a piece at foxnews.com, authored by our guest, the excellent state superintendent in the state of Oklahoma, Ryan Walters. Thank you so much for taking the time, sir, and keep up the fight, please.
Appreciate you having me on. Have a good one.
You as well, sir. And Superintendent Walters joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. More from the Liberty University studio after a short break. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Thanks for being along on this edition of the Todd Starn Show.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies supplements, changing the world one life at a time.
Oh, I love it. I'm 83 years old, and it has helped me.
Everything was okay. I feel better. I just turned 90, so I'm doing real good.
I'm doing great. You know, some guys tell me, oh, that's psychological, man. I said, let me tell you something. I don't care what it is. It's working.
Start your journey with Balance of Nature supplements. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and sign up as a new preferred customer. And for a limited time, get 35% off your first order with free shipping and our money-back guarantee. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code BALANCE.
Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Bob, thanks for calling in. Please hold on the line. We're just about to the bottom of the hour break, and I want to make sure that we have plenty of time to talk with you from North Carolina. You can line up because we'll get to calls before the end of the hour, 901-260-5926. Tell you a brief story, and this goes back, I think, about 25 years when I was teaching at a college, and again, it was a faith-based college. in Iowa. And one of my advisees came in, and she was very concerned about her low grades in political science classes because she had been writing these response papers. You know, the professor said, here's a topic, give us a response. And she and her family were conservative, and so she was honestly responding, and he was giving her, like, B-, C-plus. And her writing was just tremendous. She was a journalism major. That's what I taught. And she was just very good in her writing and expository skills. And she told me that after getting a couple of the low grades, the next time there was a response paper, she responded not with how she felt. She responded with what she thought he would want to hear. How'd the paper come back? Got an A. With the comment written, that's more like it. Indoctrination much? Absolutely. We'll fight election insecurity in the state of Iowa after this break. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 901-260-5926 is how you can join us for a coast-to-coast conversation. We'll take your calls later this hour. But now let's go live to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And I told you at the outset this hour was going to focus on some outstanding activities done at the state level by some rising elected officials, rising stars in the party. We just heard about education in Oklahoma, and now we go to the free state of Iowa. And joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, return guest to the program, Iowa Attorney General Brenna Byrd. Madam Attorney General, thanks so much for taking the time.
Oh, thanks. Glad to be here.
For those of you who are not aware, the Attorney General got elected 2 years ago by unseating a 40-year incumbent and has been very aggressive since that time, taking care of business on behalf of the citizens of my state of Iowa. You have recently, your office has initiated a prosecution. And this is the setup. We hear from Democrats that no non-citizens try to vote. But if they do, well, there aren't that many. Well, even if there are that many, it doesn't matter in an election because the margins are so great. All of that is false, and you're taking some steps to make the point here in Iowa. Tell us about the charges that have been filed, please, understanding that you cannot jeopardize an ongoing prosecution.
Right. So election integrity is absolutely important to our democratic republic, right? We have to have elections that are fair, where no cheating happens, and every vote matters. I think election integrity comes down to each vote having integrity and people not cheating, and it's so important that these laws are enforced. We had a congressional race here in Iowa that came down to a 6-vote margin. So we know that in Iowa, for the most part, I think we have good election integrity. People show their IDs when they vote. There are a number of important checks and balances there. We have great auditors that look out and keep an eye out for anything that could be nefarious or a problem. But when the law is broken, that's when our office moves forward. And when we hear from law enforcement that there are potential charges. We pursue those cases right here in this office, making sure that election integrity is enforced in Iowa and that our laws are enforced in Iowa.
And again, the jurisdiction is your office is the one that prosecutes election integrity issues. And I'll give a little bit of a framework. There's a city in the state of Iowa. I used to live there. 17th largest city in the state. The name is Marshalltown. They have 27,500 residents. The breakdown is 56% white, 34% Hispanic. Another statistic is that 88% of the people in the city are citizens. And your office has filed a felony-level charge against a non-citizen. What's the fact pattern of the case?
Yeah. Well, it is a felony for someone who is not a U.S. citizen to vote in Iowa. It's a felony for them to register to vote as well. And so that's what this case is all about. We have filed the charges, and as somebody who believes in the Constitution, let me just say I believe, you know, in the principle that everyone is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. But my office is, we are prosecuting that case. We are enforcing our election integrity laws right here in Iowa.
And again, the document suggested is an individual who is a non-citizen who registered and voted in a municipal special election. That's how I understand it. How does this sort of thing come to the attention of the Attorney General, and how widespread might it be, do you think?
Well, I have to say that it comes to our attention usually in a variety of different ways when we hear about these things. Sometimes it's a law enforcement investigation. Sometimes an auditor or poll worker or someone else sees something that's not quite right and reports it to law enforcement. And then law enforcement goes ahead and does an investigation, just like they do for any other potential criminal situation. And then they refer that to our office, and we look at it, to look at the law, look at the facts, and to see if criminal charges should be brought to enforce our election integrity laws. So I don't think we have a lot of problems in Iowa, but I will say this. The way we keep Iowa a good state for election integrity is always to keep an eye out and to do the right thing and to hold people accountable when they break the law and pursue those cases. So I don't think it's widespread, but I also think it's important that we're always looking out for it, because like I said, we had one congressional race that came down to 6 votes. You know, that's a big election. We have other smaller races that come down to just a few votes, and people need to know when they go to the polls, their vote counts, and illegal votes are not going to count, that our elections have integrity. That is so important.
And it does send a heck of a signal to people as we go into a voting period that don't try it, because we're watching it here in the state of Iowa. And as you noted, we're speaking, by the way, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line with Iowa Attorney General Brenna Byrd on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Here in our state of Iowa, we have voter ID, we have paper ballots, we have some of the most secure elections in the country, but one must be ever vigilant on this. I'm just wondering if people understand the gravity of the situation, because again, we take care of it pretty well here in this state, but there are a lot of states where it's much more wide open and every vote counts.
Right. Yeah, that really worries me, I'll tell you that. And let me also, I want to push back on a liberal narrative that's out there that seems to suggest that that election fraud, there has to be a lot of it before it gets looked into. I don't feel that way at all. I think one case of election fraud or breaking our election integrity laws is worth looking into and worth taking seriously. We know how close these elections are. We also know how important it is that people know that cheating isn't happening. And if it does happen, those folks will be held accountable. But then you look at some other states where I would say they probably do have some widespread problems because they don't have those important checks and balances, like the auditors looking out to make sure that the rules are being followed and they're fair to both parties, Democrats and Republicans, but also voter ID. Voter ID is so important. And we have defended our voter ID law here in Iowa. It's been challenged in the courts. I wish every state had a law like ours.
There's absolutely no excuse for them not to. And as you note, we had a congressional race here, as you note, and it was 4 years ago. It's not like some ancient history, where 6 votes were, that was the margin of victory. IowaAttorneyGeneral.gov, by the way, is the website. If you'd like to learn more about the activities of the Office of the Iowa Attorney General Brenna Byrd joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. So obviously election integrity is a big thing at this time of year, but here we are just a few days before the one-year anniversary of the terror attack on Israel, and your office, it's just been announced, has been involved in a coalition that is there to support survivors and those adversely affected directly by that attack. Tell me about this, please.
Yes, well, absolutely. You know, with the one-year anniversary coming, it's important that we never forget what happened on October 7th, those barbaric Hamas terrorist attacks against Israelis. And, you know, I stand with the victims and their families, and that's what we did. We led a group of 22 states, along with Virginia, as one of our co-leaders together, and helping to the families that were suing some of the groups like the American Muslims for Palestine and National Students for Justice in Palestine. They're basically the foot soldiers for Hamas, and it is illegal to support terrorists and give material support to terrorist activity like that. And while the money that the families would get in no way can replace the loss of their family members, that's just, you know, that's hard for them to go through. At least they can get that because these groups have been supporting terrorists. That's why the families have sued them. And we wanted to weigh in support of that, that we support these families and we are going to hold terrorists accountable for what they do. And we're going to hold those who give support to terrorists accountable as well, because they're all part of it.
So Iowa and Virginia leading a total of 22 states in this coalition. I'm kind of struck by the fact that it's not 50. Do you find that there are some areas where they're just a little more sympathetic with the terrorists as opposed to with victims?
I never thought I would say this, Jeff, but yes, I do think so. And it's been really one of the scary things about October 7th, you know, obviously the barbaric attack on innocent people and their families was just awful. It's even hard to think about almost a year later. But also look at the people that haven't spoken up. You know, look at the people that have spoken up in favor of Hamas, even in the United States of America. I think we can see that we have some work to do as a nation. We have, you know, anti-Semitism in our country in ways that I never thought would be possible. And what happened on October 7th, people had a chance to stand up and do the right thing. And when you see people weighing in on the side of Hamas and the terrorists who killed innocent families, you know that we've got some work to do in this country. So we're very engaged on that issue, and I encourage everybody listening to stand up, take a strong stand against anti-Semitism and the anti-Israel sentiment that is out there.
The worst slaughter of Jews since the Holocaust. That sums it all up. Madam Attorney General, thank you so much for taking the time and the efforts that you are making on behalf of citizens of my state. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you. Glad to be fighting the fight.
Absolutely. Iowa Attorney General Brenna Byrd, she joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. IowaAttorneyGeneral.gov is the website. And again, the current administration has gotten an awful lot of paperwork from the state of Iowa in terms of lawsuits and joining claims against the student loan bailouts and all manner of illegalities promulgated by the Biden-Harris administration. 901-260-5926 is how you can reach us. Before we go to the break, Bob's been holding on. He listens to the Starn Show in North Carolina on the talk station. Bob, thanks so much for holding. What's on your mind today?
My pleasure. Please do me a favor, first off. Let these attorney generals know that North Carolina, Western North Carolina, has had some trouble in the at least in the last precinct with the results thumb drive getting from the counties to the county area intact. So please keep an eye on that. But what I'm you about is, what I talked to your guy about, is these assassination attempts on Trump are well known in certain circles to be what are called red carpet assassinations. You will usually see these in third world countries. They don't often even provide the assassin. They know that there are ones that are going to try. And basically what they're doing is they're laying out a red carpet. All of these omissions are purposeful. You take what happened in Florida. That guy was posted up in a spot that is usually filled by security personnel. So it wasn't just that he was there for 12 hours. He was at one of our security posts. What happened in Butler, obviously, was a red carpet event.
How high up do you think that this goes? Because I see, personally, and I'm not disagreeing with anything you say, because it's happened too much to be a coincidence. Okay, first of all, and I don't care who the target is. I would say this if the target were a Democrat. But the rank and file on the ground, I have to believe that they're involved with their missions and are not part of this. But I have some fear about how high up it goes. How about you?
Well, I keep telling people, you know, Mayorkas sat there in front of Congress and said, if you impeach me, you're not going to like what happens.
Yeah.
I consider that a direct threat. And I really think that these are being orchestrated from the top. And I really think that a lot of the rank and file are not involved, but a lot of them are being silent.
And they may not be getting the training that they need. We've heard there was another report that dropped today about the failures on the ground. You know, what was it in Butler? One of the agents was supposed to fly the drone but hadn't been trained on it and was calling a toll-free helpline for crying out loud.
And the thing is it wasn't just a counter-drone system that he wasn't familiar with. He'd never flown a drone before.
Yeah.
See, this is a perfect example of the red carpet effect that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They try to make it look like it's someone being inept. Well, if you purposely put inept people in there, I mean, let's not forget Butler wasn't staffed by regular Secret Service. It was a detail from Mayorkas.
Yeah. Bob, thanks for the insight calling in from North Carolina. Thanks for listening to the talk station. And I agree completely because, again, it's not the commission, not the acts of commission, it's the acts of omission. And the fact that there was not enough staffing, not enough perimeter. Look back to the fact that it was Biden who would not give Secret Service protection to RFK Jr. when he was a threat to the Biden nomination. So you run a skinny detail on Trump so you can say, well, we were there. But again, to use Bob's phrase, red carpet, we're here, but we're going to kind of look the other way. And again, I don't fault those who put their lives on the line on the ground. There's a lot of other fault up the ladder, and I'm afraid, I hope I'm still alive when the real news comes out, but it's going to date back to the Biden crime family. Those of you who are younger may live to hear the real details because they'll come out someday. 901-260-5926, that's how you can reach us, your calls after this break. We're in the Liberty University studio. I'm Jeff Stein, in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starn Show.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies supplements, changing the world one life at a time.
Oh, I love it. I'm 83 years old, and it has helped me.
Everything was okay. I feel better. I just turned 90, so I'm doing real good.
I'm doing great. You know, some guys tell me, oh, that's psychological, man. I said, let me tell you something. I don't care what it is. It's working.
Start your journey with Balance of Nature supplements. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and sign up as a new preferred customer. And for a limited time, get 35% off your first order with free shipping and our money-back guarantee. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code BALANCE.
Studio, final segment of this hour of the Todd Starn Show. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. We were just talking about election integrity with the Iowa Attorney General. And again, this is the situation. You have a non-citizen who is a Hispanic who registered to vote and voted in a municipal election. That is a felony in this state. And her office is pursuing a prosecution. She did not want to get into too many details because, again, you don't want to jeopardize the investigation or the prosecution, but everything I just told you is in the common documents. When you have a third of the population being Hispanic, when you have 12% of the population not being a citizen, there is the potential for fraud. And again, I lived in the community. I grew up right next door. And so all I am saying is that you have to be vigilant about some things. And I have to tell you, you file a felony charge against somebody, that's going to get people's attention. That's how you keep things safe. So I would ask, what's being done in your state to make sure that the elections are going to be free and fair? Maybe you need to make sure that you vote people into office who will push for things like voter ID, paper ballots, et cetera, et cetera. You know, when we put the voter ID in place here in Iowa a few years ago, I heard from all sorts of people who said it was going to be discriminatory against minorities, against old people, and against young people. That was the big thing. The library, the public library, is two blocks from my studio, and I often go there to pick up a book, whatever. I walked in one day, and there was an older person, there was a younger person, and there was a person of color, all three lined up again ahead of me, and they each had a library card because they wanted the DVD or the book, and guess what? That's the only form of ID you need. So stand up to these people with these bogus hurdles. Hour 3 coming up. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to Hour 3 of a Wednesday edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Coast to coast on more than 150 tremendous radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein from the free state of Iowa and my home base, Todd Starnes' home base in the state of Iowa. News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. Good to be along with you from the Liberty University studio. Coming up just after the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Liz Peek about the October surprise. The surprise might be that the voters learn what Kamala Harris really believes. But now we go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and speak to someone I've had the pleasure of visiting with on my radio program on Iowa, in Iowa. He is the founder and executive director of a group called Save Our States, online saveourstates.com. He is Trent England. Mr. England, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for joining us on the Starnes Show today. How are you?
I'm glad to be here. Doing great. Thank you.
Tell us about Save Our States, please. Who are you and what do you do?
Yes, Save Our States is a group that I created in 2009 to defend the Electoral College, particularly against the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact, which is a very nefarious, serious, well-funded campaign that the left launched in 2006 to try to subvert the Electoral College. So we defend the Electoral College and also just work to help states defend elections and even these days to defend against foreign threats like China.
And once again, I know this audience knows it, but if you want to just let California decide how the country is being run, then just go with a national popular vote, because that's what's going to happen. The folks who wrote the Constitution knew what they were doing in setting up the Electoral College. It has served us well. It continues to serve us well. And we need to be vigilant to defend that. All right. Well, you mentioned China. And you were the author of a piece in the Washington Examiner about a week ago. Tim Walz seems to have a rather unnatural attachment to China, I would say. Tell us about that, please.
Yeah, his connection with China goes all the way back to 1989, when people might remember, if we're old enough at least, that's the year when the Chinese Communist Party rolled in tanks against pro-democracy demonstrators, most of them students in Tiananmen Square, killed at least hundreds, possibly thousands of mostly, you know, unarmed, peaceful demonstrators. And right after that, Tim Walz decided to go to China to teach English. And, you know, one thing people have to understand about China that I think is difficult as Americans is that everything in China is ultimately controlled by the state, and the state is the Chinese Communist Party. It's a one-party country, right? Your dissent is illegal. People get thrown into jail for, you know, saying things in classrooms or on social media that even vaguely question the Chinese Communist Party. And Tim Walz, this begins a 30-trip, you know, lifelong love affair with China, the Chinese Communist Party. He comes back, becomes a social studies teacher in the U.S., and he's quoted in some newspaper articles in the 1990s telling students that, you know, Chinese communism just means that everybody is treated the same and everybody has enough food to eat, and all of this CCP propaganda that he brought back and spread in American schools. And he and his wife even started a company that worked with China to facilitate American students going back and forth there, which, you know, I'm sure most of that travel was innocent. But the FBI has said over and over again that those kind of exchanges are a tool of choice, something that the Chinese Communist Party uses to make connections for the purpose of espionage, right? I mean, the federal government is very explicit about this. They warn colleges and universities to be careful about these programs. Tim Walz was running one, right? He's been to China more than 30 times, and yet we get almost no questions about this from the mainstream media. It's pretty shocking.
Well, especially in light of COVID. And, you know, I live in the Midwest. We have a lot of agricultural trade agreements with China. They're important for our agricultural community in the Midwest and elsewhere. And so, therefore, I know people who have traveled to China. But it's with a wary eye. It seems like the Chinese looked at him as a willing dupe who could be controlled and evangelize on their behalf. I doubt they ever dreamed he'd be in this position, but that's their good fortune, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And, I mean, the facts show, for sure, without any conspiracy theorizing, that, you know, in Tim Walz's own words, the Chinese government gave him gifts, treated him exceptionally well while he was there, helped him with his company. All of this travel had to be approved at some level by the Chinese Communist Party. And he, in turn, has spoken highly of the Chinese communist system and has taken positions at various times that have favored Chinese institutions, people, and groups that are connected to the Chinese Communist Party. That's just a part of the record. He has received things of value from the Chinese Communist Party, and he has given them, I think, a great return on that investment. And these are things that voters deserve to know about.
Trent England is the founder of Save Our States online, saveourstates.com. His piece in the WashingtonExaminer.com about a week ago, New York indictment highlights concerns about Tim Walz and China. All right, talk about this indictment and talk about how this is going to reflect on Walz, and will it make any difference?
Yeah, this really should get a lot more attention, I think, than it has received so far. There is a woman and her husband in New York who have been indicted by federal prosecutors for essentially being a Chinese agent within the government of the state of New York. She worked for both former Governor Cuomo and current Governor Kathy Hochul. And at the same time, she was taking instructions from local Chinese Communist Party agents. And this included her manipulating who the governor and who people in the governor's office met with, blocking meetings with people connected to Taiwan, meetings that are very typical, commonplace in states around the country. Taiwan is an important trading partner with every state, and yet she was able to prevent representatives of Taiwan from interacting with at least certain parts of New York state government. She manipulated some of the governor's speeches and comments, taking out references to human rights abuses in China. And federal prosecutors, it's a long indictment. You can read all of these text messages back and forth. She literally sent one of the governor's potential speeches to people who work for the Chinese Communist Party to basically vet the speech. And they asked her to take out some references to human rights abuses in China. And she was able to do that. The governor delivered the speech after it was edited by the Chinese Communist Party. And they were directing business to her husband's company, worth over $1 million, and other goodies along the way. The indictment notes that they gave her some salted duck. So all kinds of goodies if you do the Chinese Communist Party's bidding. But one of the things I thought was shocking in the indictment, they wanted desperately for her to arrange for one of the governors to visit China. They saw that as being very much in the CCP's interest to have a high-level visit from an important state governor. And she ultimately was unable to do that. Now she's been indicted for all of this, all of these actions taken on behalf of a foreign government. And yet we have someone running for vice president who visited China 30 times and has routinely taken positions that favor China. And, occasionally Tim Walz, when he was in Congress, would talk tough on some of the rights issues in China. But there's not really a record of him ever doing anything to follow it up. When you look at his real record, it seems like, when push comes to shove, he always takes positions that actually work to China's benefit.
Exit question for Trent England of Save Our States online, saveourstates.com. Is there any allegation that Walz is on the payroll, et cetera? Is there anything nefarious like that? Or is it simply a matter that he is so brainwashed he can't be trusted to be that close to the nuclear codes where China is concerned?
Yeah, I think this is the challenge for voters in this election. The media is not asking any of these questions. So it's hard to know exactly what the nature of this relationship is. I mean, this is something of the highest national security interest. And yet it's only conservative folks like you and I who are willing to talk about it. And I think that's really disturbing, right? Because you do have someone who would be the proverbial heartbeat away from the presidency as vice president, who has the closest ties you could really imagine to our greatest foreign adversary and the country that the FBI is routinely sounding the alarm on all of their espionage and hacking and even certain kinds of what I would classify as sabotage in the United States. No, we deserve answers to questions like that, and we just don't know.
Once again, the Chinese had no idea when they were investing in an English or social studies teacher that they have the potential to get great return on that investment, and that's to the detriment of all of us. Save Our States is online, saveourstates.com. Founder of Save Our States, Trent England, thanks so much for joining us on the program. Have an excellent day, sir.
Thanks so much.
And Mr. England joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. 901-260-5926. That's how you can reach us for the Coast to Coast Conversation in the Liberty University studio. We'll take your calls in the next segment. Liz Peek talks about Kamala Harris and her true policies after the bottom of the hour. Thanks for being along. Jeff Stein in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starn Show.
Well,
Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today, 901-260-5926. That's how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation. And I always just keep talking and talking, and I'll run out of time, so I want to make sure now, big thanks to Dylan and Cassie back at the home base in Memphis. Grace taking care of all the guests and the whole team getting those clips of the current president together so that we could share them with you in the first hour without forcing you to watch The View, because that is just cruel and unusual punishment. So thanks to Team Todd. It's always a privilege to sit here and talk to all of you, and they make it so easy. Guests on the program, such as Trent England a moment ago from Save Our States, appear via the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And lots of folks, whether they're connecting with me on this program or through my home base in Iowa, they say, well, that's okay, but what can I do? How do I stand up to what's happening in this country? Well, you take little steps. And one little step is to not give your hard-earned money to people who then use it to fund causes that are the opposite of what you believe. You can protect your constitutional rights by using your cell phone. Now, I'm not talking about making a call. I'm talking about your call provider, your cell phone provider. And Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They'll always support freedom of speech, freedom of religion. They offer dependable nationwide coverage, and that means you get access to all three major networks, same coverage you've been accustomed to, but you're not funding the left like those big companies do. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're supporting organizations like First Liberty, Alliance Defending Freedom, Concerned Women for America, and more. And their 100% U.S.-based, thank you very much, customer service team makes switching easy. You can keep your number. You can keep your phone. You can switch. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs, not because they're working on some sort of a commission. So it's actually a human being discussing it with another human being? What a concept in customer service. Here's what you do. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. And by the way, when you use the offer code Todd, you get free activation. So make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. You know, this is the day, September 25th, where most of us are at work, right? This is getaway day for Congress, because here's what they've decided to do. The end of the fiscal year is next Monday. If they don't do anything by midnight Eastern time going into Tuesday morning, October 1st, government will shut down in part, which is a misnomer, but you get the idea. No budget for the next fiscal year. So what they've decided to do is to pass a continuing resolution for 90 days. It's going to go up before the House and the Senate today, with the thought being that Washington will be a ghost town by tomorrow morning. Good luck getting a flight out of Washington tonight, because they're going to pass this continuing resolution, apparently, and leave town, kicking the can down the road with Nancy Pelosi's funding priorities still in place for another 90 days. And they won't be back until after the election. Now, in many respects, if you told me that Congress was going to be away and could not screw up my life anymore for, 6 weeks, I'd be good with that. And I sort of am, because if they're not in town, they can't, as I said, screw up my life. But look at this. They're going to do the absolute bare minimum and skedaddle. Get out of town. Bye-bye. We'll see you after the election. Do you get 6 weeks off at your job? I don't think so. My station, News Talk 1540 KXEL in Iowa, we do a daily poll question. So we ask our listeners to go to KXEL.com and vote in the poll question. This was yesterday's question. The House Republicans were proposing a three-month continuing resolution punting the government shutdown until the lame duck session post-election. What's your reaction? This is my audience. I love my audience, because listen to this. 71.4% said that the House Republicans are cowards who won't stand their ground in a united front on anything. Tell us what you really think, folks. 21.4% said, you know, you could have done a 45-day bill instead. If the goal was just to avoid Election Day, then just do a 45-day bill, come back after the election, take care of business. No, they made it 90 days. Only 7.2% said, look, it's the best they can do at this late date. Let's just get it done and move on, which I do understand, but that's been the mantra of the House Republicans all along. Not a single person voting thought it was a great idea. You're probably among that same group. Liz Peek joins us after this break in the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Stay tuned. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Join the Coast to Coast Conversation, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll take your calls in the next segment. But let's go now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and welcome back Liz Peek, the analyst and columnist. You read her work on her website, lizpeek.com, also Fox News and The Hill. Liz, Jeff Stein in for Todd. Thanks for taking time. How are you?
Thank you. I'm glad to be on.
Always good to talk with you. We hear a lot about October surprises, and you've written a piece that talks about the possible surprise not exactly being what Kamala Harris has in mind. Tell us what the theory is in your mind.
Well, I mean, clearly we're all wondering if the economy is in a great slowdown here. There's just some consumer sentiment information out today, which shows consumer sentiment plunged in September, which is not a very good indicator of what consumer spending is going to look like in the months ahead. Also, a new manufacturing index came out, and I think it's the worst since, I don't know, 2000 or something. I mean, there's really a lot of indicators that suggest that the economy is not headed for a soft landing, including, by the way, the fact that Jay Powell cut interest rates by half a percentage point instead of the expected 25 basis points. That raised a lot of eyebrows, wondering what it was that Jay Powell saw in the data that the rest of us weren't seeing. And, you know, for a guy that has talked incessantly about being data-driven, the only data that was new going into that Fed meeting last week was that Ally Financial, which has to do with car loans, is a car loan provider, talked about in their second quarter earnings call the fact that delinquencies were rising. And the worrisome thing about that is no one defaults on their car loan if they can possibly avoid it. They need their car to go to work. So that's like the last debt item on the consumer balance sheet that usually goes into default. So, you know, obviously we're all just kind of waiting to see what the unemployment numbers look like next month, but also what the continuing claims and first-time unemployment claims look like. There's just a lot of noise right now that does not signal a very robust economy, and I think people are concerned about that.
And the government officials or the Harris campaign can say, well, look, inflation is down from what it was. Well, it's still not as good as when they took over 4 years ago. It's almost twice the inflation rate as when Biden put his hand on the Bible.
Yeah, and it's not 2%, which is the Fed's, that's what their target is. It's not 2%. It's still running 2.5% to 3%. And look, I mean, some people... There has been work done which shows that 90% of the time a surge of inflation in any country, this is globally, that goes above 6%, almost always has a second surge. You raise interest rates, basically help inflation come down, but then there's usually a second wave. And I think the interesting thing about this is the second wave happens because of this. Workers know that they've been left behind. They know that their paycheck is not worth as much. And so they begin to bargain very aggressively for wage hikes, which then starts another inflationary cycle. And the interesting thing is, look at what's going on with Boeing. the Boeing company offered workers 25% pay hikes. That wasn't good enough. That's over 4 years. That's like over 6% a year. And now the latest offer to the workers is 30%. So, you know, you begin to look at what's going on with the longshoremen. I don't know what the longshoremen numbers are, but my guess is you're going to see more advocacy for unions advocated for higher pay hikes in the coming months. And that does begin sort of another cycle. So it could be that, you know, all along Jay Powell was very concerned about moving prematurely. He was slow in the beginning to hike rates, even though inflation went to very high numbers. This time around, he's been accused of being too slow to cut rates. But his hesitancy has to do with that history. It has happened before, as we all know, with Alan Greenspan in the United States, when he cut rates too fast to bring the economy out of a downturn, and sure enough, inflation came back. So let's hope this doesn't happen. I mean, nobody wants this. We want whoever is the next president, I hope it is not Kamala Harris, to be able to start with pretty good numbers at their back. But the answer is, it does not look entirely like smooth sailing right now.
Liz Peek is our guest. She writes for Fox News and The Hill. LizPeek.com is her website. Her latest, Kamala Harris's extreme liberal policies could result in an unexpected election surprise. Do you think that those who are still undecided or are soft in their support for Harris, are they going to know what she actually will do? Are we going to get any believable specifics, or is this going to be, I'll say whatever I need to do at this moment based upon what I think will get me 5 votes?
Well, that is certainly Bernie Sanders' interpretation of all her flip-flops on major issues, and he said it out loud. He said, you know, she's saying what she has to say to get elected. Look, Bernie Sanders loves what she's doing. She has picked up the progressive mantle from him, and by the way, from Joe Biden. Remember that they did a deal when Joe Biden was running. He sat down with Bernie Sanders. Bernie sort of gave him the manifesto of what he had to do once in office, and then he promised that his supporters would come out for him, and they did. So he got elected, but it was not as a moderate. It was as a moderate who basically then adopted a tremendous agenda, very left-wing agenda. And I think what's happening, I don't know about you, but I sort of sense a change in the last 2 weeks in this election. I think people are getting on to Kamala Harris. I think people, all those independents, and that's really, in some of these swing states, it's about a third of voters. They're kind of looking at what she has said and, more importantly, what she hasn't said. And they're sort of reading the tea leaves and saying, hey, she was a, you know, very radical San Francisco liberal when she campaigned in 2019. She has reversed herself on all these positions, but we can't really trust her because, you know, she might do it again.
Well, I said earlier in the program, in response to her comment of my values have not changed, I suggest that's true. Her only value has been to get higher office, and so she'll say and do anything, and that's the more frightening thing about all of it. You know, with the regard to the union situation, this, again, has that kind of domino effect. Sure, inflation has bothered people during the Biden years, and so when your contract comes up like Boeing, you want to try to make up for lost time, in essence, and we've all gotten hit, but if it's a 30% increase, Boeing is also still reeling from all the other problems they've had from a product standpoint. I mean, that's just going to, as you say, we've got another wave now, just like when UPS had this big, and I'm not begrudging those who drive brown trucks for a living, but rates went up. They have to.
Yeah, exactly. And Boeing will pass along these costs. I mean, unfortunately, look, maybe these workers do need that kind of raise, although the numbers really seem staggering to me. And again, if you get another tens of thousands of longshoremen, the companies that are importing products through the ports that are affected by their negotiations are going to have to raise their prices. It doesn't take much to flip this off again. The government has been putting pressure on a lot of different companies and industries to keep prices down, you know, but they can't do it. I mean, at some point, you've got to maintain your margins. And I've looked at the margins for food processors, grocery companies, all kinds of businesses over the last several years. They have not expanded. I mean, these companies that raise prices, they did it because of rising costs, costs of rent, costs of wages, et cetera. That's what happens. Companies cannot be expected to see their profitability just take it on the chin. Where they can, they will raise prices. And my guess is we might see another, you know, another surge of that.
That's such an excellent point because, again, the targeting that she's doing by saying, well, here are these price gougers. It's a low-margin yeah. industry, and it's all supply chain. Maybe if gasoline hadn't gone up a couple of dollars a gallon, we might not have had to have those costs passed on to us at the Kroger or in my part of the world, Hy-Vee.
Well, and actually, energy is a very interesting topic because oil, of course, is really under pressure because of China. Well, China just put through a lot of stimulus measures. It's quite possible that those stimulus measures in coming out of Beijing aren't really going to have much impact on the growth of the country. But if China begins to reaccelerate, oil demand's going to go up. And, you know, oil prices right now, again, are pretty depressed at about 70 bucks a barrel. I think that's temporary. So we'll see. I mean, that's certainly, there's a lot of oil on the sidelines. The United States is producing a lot of oil. Nonetheless, that particular component of the CPI has been very beneficial over the last several months. It's not clear that that'll continue.
Always such excellent insight, and I always appreciate the opportunity to connect with you. Thanks so much for taking the time, and I hope we talk again soon.
I look forward to that, and thanks so much for having me on.
Liz Peek, LizPeek.com. She writes for FoxNews.com and The Hill. I always go to her website directly, Liz Peek, P-E-E-K.com. Always such great succinct analysis, and I love it when we have the opportunity, when she has the time to join us when I'm sitting here filling in for Todd. 901-260-5926, and of course our conversation with Liz Peek was made possible because she called in on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. All right, so this is probably more information than you need about my life, but we have cats. Couple of cats. They're wonderful animals. They are the most affectionate things, and they also run the house. And, you know, I had to do my radio show this morning. Now, this program I get the pleasure of hosting, and then I have other duties. So I had a big day, kind of needed a really good night's sleep last night. And that was the signal for the cats to come in and just kind of like, disrupt things. We'll just leave it at that, you know, like laying on your chest and staring at you in the night and all the things that cats do. Okay, love them to death. Death crossed my mind as they were, you know, I'm looking at the clock going, come on, all right. Well, here's the thing, though, the saving grace of it all. I knew that I could get back to sleep pretty quickly after the interruption by the little furry critters because we're not only a household with cats, we're a household with MyPillow products. So I knew literally all I had to do was snuggle into those MyPillow Percale sheets, position my head on that tremendous MyPillow 2.0. Yep, out like a light. I cannot tell you how just the MyPillow, the original MyPillow, changed my life because I just always had problems sleeping. Here comes the MyPillow, changed everything. Well, you asked, and MyPillow has listened, and they're bringing you the most requested offer ever. You can get the queen size premium MyPillow, the very same one that I was able to use last night and be halfway awake to be with you today. Well, you can get the queen size premium MyPillow now for only $19.98. That's $19.98. Yes, Ethel, he said less than $20. MyPillow is made with patented adjustable fill. It adjusts to your exact individual needs, regardless of your sleep position. I can testify to that. It keeps your neck aligned, holds its shape. You get the best sleep of your life. Absolutely. But that's not all. Yeah, the pillow's at a good price, but you can get their six-piece kitchen or bath towel set for only $25. The brand-new mattress topper, as low as $69.98, and those famous MyPillow bed sheets, as low as $25, much, much more. You want to support a patriotic company? This is it. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. I'll say that again, 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS to get huge discounts on all the MyPillow products, including The premium queen-size MyPillow, only $19.98, lowest price ever. So don't delay. Place your order right now. Use promo code STARNS at checkout. That not only lets people know that you're a listener to the Todd Starnes Show, but it gives you the absolute best discounts. That's MyPillow at MyPillow.com. Todd continues at the Spiritual Leadership Conference in California, and that explains his absence. Tomorrow in the air chair, Jamie Allman, the host of the Allman Report on News Talk STL in St. Louis. He will be in the air chair, and it's my privilege to be back with you again here on Friday. One more segment, though. Let's take a break now. 901-260-5926. Connect with us in the Liberty University studio, won't you? Jeff Stein filling in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. Privileged to have you along with us. Again, Jamie Allman is here tomorrow. I'll be back on Friday as Todd wraps up his week at the Spiritual Leadership Conference in California. And again, very appreciative that you've been along with us today. So I told you a little earlier, Todd was here in the state of Iowa for our annual listener appreciation event. We always have a big picnic, free to all of our listeners, and a few hundred people show up, and we asked Todd to come up, and he did his show from that chair I'm pointing to. You can't see it because it's radio, but I'm pointing to my left. He did the show from this studio and then appeared at our event and quickly sold out of copies of Twilight's Last Gleaming. That's a common problem around the country because the book is so darn popular, and with good reason. But it also gave us a chance. I said, okay, now, you know, Todd has not been in Iowa for a while. We got to really give him the Iowa experience. And we thought of, well, what is it that we need to make sure we do? And we were thinking of food. And so we had to get him. And more of you across the country are aware of Casey's convenience stores, Casey's general stores, and their breakfast pizzas. So we had breakfast pizzas here. And he said, what's this? And I said, well, it's a bacon and egg pizza. And I got the look of, all right, what is this? Until he took a taste and then took a second piece. Now, we also, with appreciation to our friends in North Carolina, Iowa is the leading pork-producing state in the country. We said we have to get him a real breaded pork tenderloin. Now, somewhere across the country, you may get this little round thing that's breaded and deep-fried, and it's flat, and it's pressed meat and all that. That is not a tenderloin. You get yourself a big old loin, and it's hand-pounded and breaded and deep-fried. And the bun looks like it's just hardly there. That's how big. When I go in, and I did this the other day, went into a restaurant, and I said, tell me about your tenderloins. Are they big? And you get the look of either, well, they're okay. Well, no, you don't want those. You want them when they say, oh, yeah, to where you can only eat around the bun because then you're full, right? So I said, you're going to have to get a tenderloin. Well, I've never had one of these. He says, okay, we'll get a tenderloin. So he got the 12-ounce breaded pork tenderloin. It shows up, and again, it's just taking over the plate. And I got up to get some napkins. I come back, and he's got his phone out. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, nobody will believe this. And sure enough, later he posted a photo of the breaded pork tenderloin on Instagram with the words, Sweet Mercy, Iowa. And I'm happy to report he finished it up. Attaboy. Clean plate club, that Todd Starnes. Hey, thanks so much to Cassie and Dylan and Grace and to all of you. It's always a privilege. I'll talk to you again Friday. Jamie's here tomorrow. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This has been the Todd Starnes Show.